Hello, I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and you come to me for hard facts. The world keeps turning, and you're trying to keep up.
The fight against coronavirus has the Oxford.
But there's so much noise drowning out the news. Talking heads, broadcast messages, press releases. They're telling you their side, but you just want the facts. And that's why you come to me. I give you the statistics without spin.
Out of 116 million working age Nigerians, 35.5 million are employed full time. That's 30%.
I give you the context.
I give you the history.
I fight fake news with facts.
Kayode.
Let me talk.
No, Kayode, I will let you talk. Kayode. Kayode, I will let you talk if you let me talk. Kayode.
That's why more and more Lagosians are tuning in.
Half a million Lagosians.
720,000.
970,000.
Over 1 million Lagosians. They know that if you give me your afternoon, I will give you hard facts.
Well done, Sandra, and all you do. Going beyond the headlines and focusing on the facts.
I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
Hello, Lagos. Good afternoon. I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts. First hard fact of the day, 154 confirmed COVID cases yesterday, triple digits again. And 119 of those are here in Lagos. It's getting serious again, so don't let anybody deceive you. I beg my person, I tell you, you need to protect yourself, you need to protect your loved ones, because Governor Sanwo-Olu said that only 1% of Lagosians have been vaccinated. That's our second hard fact of the day, by the way. 1%. So that means that if you are listening to me right now, you have probably not gotten both shots of the vaccine. Now, if you are one of the people who have gotten only one, please follow up, get your second dose. And whether you are vaccinated or not, keep taking your precautions, right? Don't go out unless you cannot avoid it. When you do go out, wear a mask, maintain your distance from people, wash and sanitize your hands as frequently as possible. Let's keep ourselves safe. It's not difficult to do, I promise you. Third hard fact of the day, voter registration is still ongoing. Go to cvr.inecnigeria.org to get registered today. 1 million Lagosians tune into this show, and they cannot be wrong. Thank you to everybody for choosing Hard Facts. We have a great show. We'll start with the court ruling in favor of the Youth Party against Lasiak. Then we'll talk about the shooting at Lalikbo Market. And then let's talk about the Nigerian basketball teams crowdfunding themselves because there's no budget from the NBBF or the sports ministry. It's Wednesday, so we're going to bring you the glass ceiling. We're going to talk about the idea of women as breadwinners. We started this topic last week. There are more and more families where the wife makes more money than the husband, or where the wife is the only one who's working, or the only one who's working steadily. And of course, different people have different opinions about this, right? And whether or not this works. So I want to hear your views on it. No judgment, just an open conversation. We'll continue from where we left off. On today's Balogun and Broad, let's talk about apprenticeship. Specifically, let's talk about the rules around what price an apprentice can charge their boss's customer. Do you think an apprentice can increase a price and pocket the extra? What are the ethics of that? That's a conversation we're going to have today, 5 p.m. Don't miss it. News updates will come your way as always. Headlines, business, sports, all of that every hour on the hour. But right now, let's get started with today's Big Three.
This is the Big Three.
Hard Facts.
On 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Will Lasiak obey the courts? Will Lasiak obey the courts and add Youth Party to the local government polls? Should military personnel be moving around Lagos armed? And why are our basketball teams crowdfunding their Olympic dreams? Those are your big three. Lagos, let's talk. The Federal High Court has ordered Lasiak not to hold local government elections without the Youth Party, at least for now. That's our first story. Now, you know that local government elections are on the 24th of July. You know, right? Maybe you know. Did you know? Okay, well, now you know. Lasiak did not put the Youth Party on the ballot because INEC deregistered them. But since then, Youth Party went to court, got the registration overturned, and they've been fighting to get LASIEC to release them before this month's local government elections. And now it seems the court has given them some help. Joining me to have this conversation is Francis Kinlotang. He is on the board of Youth Party. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
It's always a pleasure to be on your show, Sandra.
Oh, Francis, have you been on my show before?
Yes, I have. On the same subject.
On the same subject. Oh, wow.
Yes.
Well, welcome back, Francis. First of all, what exactly does this court order state?
So the order, we have a sole prayer in our application to the court.
Mm.
And that is that LASIEC should not conduct the election to the exclusion of Youth Party.
Right.
That is, we don't want to bring the house down. We are saying, go ahead with the election, but include us.
Mm.
Attempt to exclude us means that you cannot go ahead with the election.
Right.
So that is what the order is about. And in our application to the court, which I may avail you after this...
I've seen it.
Oh, in our application to the court, we narrated our story clearly how the system has made serious, concerted, well-organized efforts to frustrate expansion of the democratic space.
Hmm.
We just want to participate. Please allow us. That's what we've been saying. The court have said this twice, and this is the third time the court will be intervening to say, allow Youth Party participate in the democratic space. Our story is the story of the travails of the youth to be involved in politics in Nigeria.
Mm.
It is the start, but we soldier on.
Now, before this, you successfully got the court to overturn INEC's decision to deregister you. And I have to ask why INEC and LASIEC have not complied. Have they given you any reasons?
Oh, so what LASIEC's excuse to us is that INEC did not give them our name as a political party.
Okay.
And we told them of our fight with INEC over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Three judgments and one order, making four against INEC.
Mm-hmm.
And in all the litigations, we've come out victorious. And LASIEC still did not list us as a political party to participate in the local government election. And so once again, we approached the court. And the court sympathized with us, understood our position, and applied the law, which is that allow them to participate. And I believe LASIEC would obey the order of court because the chairman of LASIEC is a retired judge. In fact, a retired chief judge.
Hmm.
So I am sure she would have no problem obeying order of court.
Because that's my next question. If past court orders have been disobeyed, why are you confident that this one will be obeyed? I mean, it can't be enough that she's a retired court judge.
Yeah, I am confident that Lagos is different.
Okay.
Like they say, Lagos is the center of excellence.
Okay.
And I believe as a retired judge, there is a fresh judgment or order of court that that is directed at her and the body she chairs. I strongly believe, and the day will never come, here in this world and in the world after, that the retired judge will not obey order of court.
Will not disobey the order of the court. But Omo, this decision is coming quite close to the election, so...
Allow us participate. There's no problem there. They said allow us participate.
But hold on. Let's say that you eventually get the green light. How prepared is your party to contest? How has the uncertainty affected your ability to organize, campaign, mobilize, all of that? Has it affected it?
If I say it has not affected it, I would be lying.
Okay.
It has. Okay. But, you know, if we are not serious, we wouldn't have come this far.
Mm.
So, in terms of campaigning, mobilizing, and do all that is necessary to win an election, we've been doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And our candidates are on the street. If you live around Lekki, Isolo,
we actually had one of your candidates who wants to be a councillor on Downfall Conversations with Iriti, the young lady who is doing amazing stuff with cleaning her neighbourhood. Yes, that's her, yes.
Yes, the entire two has been to your station.
As
so
well.
We have young and promising candidates. And let me tell you the truth. We are starting from the lowest political rank in Nigeria, councillorship. We are not presenting any chairmanship candidate. We understand our strengths and we are willing to exploit them. And the truth of the matter is we've been campaigning, we've been on the streets long before now. So to stop us midway or in the middle of the game, we think it's unfair. People should have a choice on who should lead them, whether the person is from Youth Party, PDP, APC. So don't block the door. Don't lock us out. Allow us to fairly participate. Fairly participate. And you know, I would not accuse Lasiek of projected rigging, which is by the time you restrict everybody from participating, only the few that are placed before you are the choices you can make. Like they say, you cannot order what is not on the menu.
Right. Okay. Well, Francis, I will wish you and Youth Party all the best with this. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you, Sandra.
All right, Lagos, over to you. What do you think about the court order against Lasiek? Women, call me on 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. You heard from the representative, from a representative from Youth Party. And you heard their story. You heard from him. You heard about their battle and how they've been going back and forth. What do you think about all of it? Have you seen any of the I want to say campaigns from members of the Youth Party? 0700-993-993-993. That's for men. For women, 01465-7190. Hello, thank you very much for calling us.
Yeah, People's President.
Good to have you on the show, sir. What's your name?
Thanks. Chris.
Chris, welcome.
Yes, I want to tell you, really, the Youth Party, they are on ground in my area. That is, like I said, who is afraid of Youth Party? So the Lasiek man, or the chairman of Lasiek.
It's a woman. The chairperson is a woman.
The chairperson. Woman, for that matter. I thought you people have that heart of, Sandra. You have the heart of doing what is, forget this thing where some of us are doing the politics. Please, I want to beg that woman to allow you party. You hear the man. They are not going for chairmanship. They are not going for governor or president. They start from councillorship. So that woman should obey the rule of law now. Court don't give, allow these people to do this. INEC go allow. So INEC myself, I'm that professor, what is the INEC chairman, the professor, hello, Sandra.
I'm here, I'm listening,
So that INEC man should step in too. At least they still have some listening to talk to, whatever. If not, that election will not hold, like the court said. So they should do something. They still have time. It's not 24th. So please, that woman should obey the court order and allow Youth Party to participate. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much for calling. 99.3, hello.
Well, good afternoon, Timothy from Kenya.
Welcome, Timothy. You're talking to Sandra. Go ahead.
Sandra, I see. For the first place, what do you make I need to register the Youth Party for the first place? Can you remember?
Because they said that they hadn't won any seats, any political party seats.
Okay, the question is, if you did not allow the political party to participate in the election, how can they win the election? How can they win the election? Now, if you register, if you, or you just want the political party to register as a political party today and win the election today, I don't know how the political system works in Nigeria. At least you should give the political party some time and allow them to participate in some in election for some time before you can register them. Now, the court have given order. I believe, the Lasiek will do the needful. And that is my belief.
Okay.
If not, mm-hmm. if they not include the youth party for this election, mm-hmm. and they go ahead to do the election, I think after the election, they will nullify the election again by the same court. Believe me.
Timothy, thank you very much for calling. 99.3, hello. Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have no right to ban people from voting.
Okay, when you want to call a radio station, turn your radio off, eh? 99.3, hello.
Hello.
How are you? I'm very well. What's your name, sir?
My name is Maurice.
Hi, yeah. Maurice.
Calling on the way. Quick one. YPP, I saw a rally from them, one of the candidates from the rally, and he was, and I don't know, those youth, they were really organized. So, I feel, for one, if INEC says, because he's not in any political post, they are registered, and then there's a court judgment in favor for them to participate in the election. And for the rule of law, I think INEC should also know that the same law that they applied in the registering, that same law is what is saying to them, no, you cannot
deregister them.
So, whatever I know that the young man talked about the last challenge, the young man also has confidence that this last challenge will actually obey this court order. I think I also have the confidence that the challenge of last will obey the court order. This YPP guys, they are a threat to these two existing political parties, and they know it. And so they are trying to play games in order to use the same INEC that is supposed to be an umpire in this event to circumvent this young guy. They are crazy. I tell you what, I saw something, I said, wow. One of the guys that was dancing in the rally, collected a sachet water and drew the face of someone. I don't want to mention name. Drew the face of someone, and it was the exact face of that person with a sachet water. And I looked at it, I said, wow, this is crazy. You know, so I don't know. I think for me, you could see where the ideology is from. They don't want to go, they are not running for chairmanship election. They are not saying they want to come out for Lagos State House of Assembly. They said they want to start from the grassroots. Let them propel themselves from the grassroots. And I want to encourage the YPP guys. I want to tell them, don't give up. Believe me, whatever candidate you guys, I've listened to them on the radio station. Two candidates that was invited by Lucy Bakari. And then I looked at what these guys could be. I said, and they are two ladies. Imagine. So I believe, for me, I think they should do more. I think they should seek out candidates that can come out for councilorship election in other areas. And then, you know, just see if they can win one or three seats and be different. And then from there, people can take them on.
All right. Thank you very much, Maurice, for calling. Odinaka is in our Papa. Odinaka, how are you? Odinaka isn't on the line anymore. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. Chris from Amoa says, kudos to the youth party for understanding and playing to their strengths, contesting for only councillorship election. That's how to be a progressive party in 2021. Councillorship, 2024, local government chairman, 2027, state governorship. That's the spirit and plan. Not some politicians that don't even have grassroots appeal and they waste people's time, resources and other votes in contesting for president that they couldn't even garner 20,000 votes. Chris from Amoa, thank you very much for your message. Sandra, there are over 1,000 parties in the USA, the country that we like to say we copy from. They should allow the youth party to partake in the elections. Jay from Iba says, Jay, how are you? Thank you for sending us a message. Prince from Aja says, they say the youth is the leader of tomorrow. I wonder how they want to encourage the youth to be taking part in elections on the ground if not winning any seats yet. Doesn't practice make perfect? Prince from Aja, thank you for your message. President Sandra, start at the grassroots. This is the way to go. It was most ludicrous to hear when we had youth party and youth standing for president. Okay. I don't think Youth Party has fielded a presidential candidate. I may be wrong, so I'll have to check. We've got Augustine Akujobi from Ilasa who says, I said it before that these politicians want to make APC a mega party so that they will continue to rule forever. They don't want competition. Madam Sandra, my name is Peter Oyewole. May I tell you that this case of Youth Party is just the beginning of legal crisis against the forthcoming Kangaroo election in the local government in Lagos? Another court case that is more serious is on now. It is time to stop illegality in Lagos election. All right, I will private chat you for more information on this. Tosin is a first-time caller who is in Bagada. Tosin, how are you?
Yeah, I'm very, very fine.
Welcome.
Yeah, I want to talk about the Youth Party.
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've listened to them, and this is what I've actually been craving for a long time. I like this ideology that they are bringing on.
Mm.
I swear, we cannot just deceive ourselves.
Mm.
We cannot change this country just like that.
Mm.
One. Now, they say they're just going for councillorship, which is what I've always been saying, that all these Shure and big people that always say they want to go for presidency. No, let's start from chairmanship. Let's just start from councillorship. Let's just start from the local government. Everybody. Let's rally around. Let's win that particular local government. And let's demonstrate the changes that we have been talking about. Imagine all these people just pick one seat and say, okay, we just want to start from here.
Mm.
That is where people will now take us serious. Not on election day when we know that realistically people are not even listening to us. But if you start little, then people will start seeing the changes. That, okay, imagine a councillor that is, everybody now knows him around the old locality, and the way he's even talking, very outspoken, he can defend everybody, and he's going around making tangible differences. Then people will believe us. That's when we can now make tangible changes. Not every 4 years everybody start believing that, okay, he's the president. No, this is the party, and I'm going to make sure I join this party. No, there's no way I will not join this party.
All right, Justin, thank you for calling. My last call is Carlo, who is in Idimu. He's a first time caller as well. Carlo, how are you?
I'm very good.
Good afternoon. Thanks for calling.
I'm very, very excited. A good effort you guys have been putting on since. This is my first time calling to the program.
Mm. Welcome.
Very first time.
I'm glad you called today. What made you call?
A very good fight for the youth.
Mm.
I wish you could see my face. You see the answers mark on my eyes. I closed from work. I was injured.
Okay. When was that? When were you injured?
During the NSAS on the 18th.
Okay. How did you get your injury?
I cruised from work from 9:30. I was going home.
Mm.
I borrowed the bus.
Mm.
They were like, there's something going on. Everybody jumped out from the bus. Now cracking with the leg.
Mm.
Connecting from the next bus stop, I said, okay, let me get another bus. Mm. Continue. The bus I saw that was coming, I managed to hang the bus before I should get my seat and sit down. He matched the brake that he was trying to avoid another guy's at the front.
Mm.
I just hit my head on the edge of the door.
Oh.
Caught immediately. I started bleeding.
Oh.
I didn't even know. So somebody around me was shouting Jesus.
Oh.
Like, he gave me tissue. You know, I highlighted it again. Next time I found myself in the hospital. I was like, this is what we see fight. I didn't go to work. I have joined up with us in my area, in Gondo.
Mm.
And ever since, I said, okay, I think this is a hard time. So that youth party is a very good one.
Okay.
So I'm going to appear there someday.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Carlo, for calling. And my sympathies with that injury that you sustained back in October 2020. Now, for our second story, I'm showing you footage on our live stream, Nigeria Info 99.3, YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. Military personnel shot at Ladipo Market. We've still not confirmed the death toll. Air Force says one person has died. Civilian eyewitnesses are claiming larger numbers. Air Force says that they got a distress call that a soldier, an army man, was fighting with somebody he claimed was a debtor. So the Air Force sent some personnel down there, and they claim that a crowd blocked them, stormed their car, and was trying to take the soldier's gun from the soldier. They claim that the soldier struggled to keep his gun and then fired a shot to clear the crowd, and that the shot killed one person. So that's the Air Force's account. But we also have accounts from other eyewitnesses, as reported by some of the newspapers. So take The Nation, for example. The Nation's quoting people in the market as saying that both the soldier and the Air Force personnel fired shots and that more than one person was hit. There are also conflicting reports about what started the problem. Some eyewitnesses say that the soldier wanted to return an engine that he had bought some months ago for a refund, but that the seller refused. That the soldier allegedly bought Tokumbo engine 6 months ago and wanted to return it. The seller refused to take it, so soldier tried to beat him up, allegedly. Others say that it was a fight between the Air Force personnel and the touts in the market. So no clear details on what started it. No agreement on how many were killed. We're still looking into the story. We're going to bring you more details as we get them. But if you are in Ladipo Market today, or you were there yesterday, or you were there when this happened, or you know somebody who was there, or you heard something, I'd like to actually hear from you. If you were an eyewitness, what happened at Ladipo Market between the traders and the soldiers? Because here's what we do know. We know that military personnel got involved in a market matter. We also know that military personnel fired shots. So my first question is, should military personnel be moving around Lagos outside their barracks with guns? I'm talking about Lagos here, not Zamfara, where there are bandits, not Borno, where there is insurgency. I'm talking about Lagos. Our major security problem in Lagos is armed robbery. And that's what the police are there for. So the question is, in the absence of a threat to national defense here in Lagos, should military personnel be allowed to move around with their arms? There are some countries where it is illegal for soldiers to take their guns out of the barracks. Did you know that? That's because the citizen is not the enemy of the state. So there is no reason a soldier would need his gun. In some countries. Should that rule apply in Nigeria, do you think? I mean, we look at this case in Ladipo. We don't know how many are dead. It could be one, it could be three, it could be five, it could be more. But the argument is, if that soldier and those airmen were not armed, the number would be zero. 0700-993-993-993. Do you know anyone who was there? Were you there? What did you see? What happened there? What do you think about this Ladipo situation? I'm sure you've seen some of the videos allegedly from the incident, and they're very gory. Do you think Nigeria should be one of those countries where it is illegal for military personnel to leave their barracks armed? Should military personnel be allowed to move around Lagos armed? Women, call me on 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. We're showing you some footage on Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3. We're also showing you on YouTube, Nigeria Info FM 99.3. Hello.
Hello, Sandra.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, good evening. My name is Izuchukwu.
Hi, Izuchukwu.
Yeah, Sandra, because they are called, and the society we are in, It is possible for them to carry on. But one thing that keeps bothering me, not only one, but two, when somebody is not armed, coming against a military-trained person, and the only option you had is to shoot, does that show that you are trained? So you cannot disarm somebody without arm? in front of you as a military person. Okay, now, videos are coming up. How can an institution like a Nigerian army go out on a mission without a camera to record what they are doing? How do I analyze their success and their failure?
No, but don't you think they shouldn't even be out on a mission in Lagos? Is Lagos a war zone?
Because of the... I can't say for them because they know better. But...
Well, we do know better. We know international best practices. And the citizen is not an enemy of the state. So should the military be out and about in Lagos, not Boronu, not Zamfara, in Lagos with arms?
Sandra, as it is in Lagos today, police are overwhelmed. Oh, that is obvious. Because even along my road, you remember I caught something that I was attacked too, along this Ajaro. Mm-hmm. You notice that everywhere, the military, the police are overwhelmed. And then, when there is a little bit darker, you see the army coming in. Because normal police, the police can do it. So, in the first place, they are not supposed to be out. That is the real writing. What we have is a police case now. That is, we have a police situation where we need more hands to police
So what we need is more police, not the army. But I get your point. I get your point. Thank you for calling. We've got Vivian in Chevron. She's a first-time caller. Hi, Vivian.
Hi, Sandra. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I'd like to make a contribution to this Ladipo issue.
Yes, please.
I totally agree with you. No military personnel should have, you know, a weapon with them, you know, especially when you're operating in a private capacity. Because if we're going by the story that whether a soldier came to return an engine or something else, you are operating in your personal business or private capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever issue that comes up, you have no right whatsoever. We're talking about lives here. There's a way to de-escalate, you know, situations, especially when you're in a public space.
Mm-hmm.
You have law enforcement. You can actually escalate this issue to law enforcement to come and, you know, to come in and, you know, quell any issue or any matter. They're taking law into your hands and now bringing out your service weapon and opening it at random and killing, taking innocent lives. You know, it's unbelievable. This is the 21st century. We are still living as if we're in a banana republic. It is unheard of. Please, I hope our service chiefs, they are actually paying attention to this because we can no longer continue like this. Because it's now looking as if it's like a dog-eat-dog world. We are human beings. We are civilized. This is the same society. Thank you. That's my contribution.
Thank you, Vivian, for calling. Odinaka is in our Papa. Odinaka, welcome.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes. I want to react to this issue of soldiers carrying arms around.
Mm-hmm.
You see, one problem we have in this country is our level of education and learnedness.
Okay.
Now, in an ideal situation, soldiers are not meant to be moving around the street with arms, except if the country is in a war situation. I see no reason why a soldier who is going to return a spare part, the carrying arms, to the shop where he's going to return a spare part. This is simply something you can do to go and... something you can just take to the police, negotiate with the man, tell the man that, see, this thing I bought is not working as you promised. So, moving around with arms just to go and return a product you bought is not simply an ideal thing to do. Our soldiers need to be trained on certain ethics and best practices they need to perform. They need to have why they are on duty. Don't just move around with arms just because you have been empowered by the law to do so.
All right. Thank you very much for calling, Odinaka. We've got Rhoda. She's a first-time caller calling from Ikorodu. Hello, Rhoda.
Hello, Sandra.
Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Sandra, I have somebody who was at Ladipo when this incident happened.
Happened, okay.
What happened was that the person said the soldier bought an engine, took it away for like 6 months, brought it back after 6 months that the engine is not working. I wanted the person to change it. So when the marketer refused, he now went and reinforced and came back to the market. That was exactly what happened.
Wow.
That was what happened. For crying out loud, how can you buy an engine? Then after 6 months, you are returning it. Why?
So how did things? So how did things? How did things escalate to the point where people or a person, depending on who you believe, died?
Well, it was a friend of mine that was at Ladipo when it happened that related the whole
story.
Incident.
Yeah. I was hoping that the person gisted you about how the thing, escalated to the point where the soldier came back with a truck of, you know.
Because the person refused to change the engine. The person who sold the engine said he cannot change it. After 6 months, he can't change it.
Rhoda, thank you very much.
So the soldier went back and reinforced and came back with his colleagues. Then they started, you know, doing, because they have guns and they have, I don't know.
It's quite a scary situation. Kayode Nikoyi, how are you?
I'm fine, Sandra. Good evening.
Good evening. Good afternoon.
Yeah, you know, I don't want us to look at this issue in isolation.
Okay.
Because it happens every day. And I won't blame the soldiers, the military men and drugs. I'll blame us as civilians. Because there's a lot of us who have this idea of bringing military men into private issues.
Right.
Someone is owing you money, you have a soldier friend, you call him to go and help you out. Someone can even use them as escort. In fact, there was an incident where a colleague in the office had an accident with a lady in Ikoyi here.
Right.
And she called the military men from the barracks, and they came and took his car to the barracks and said, until they fixed the car. And the guy had comprehensive insurance. I said, see, my insurance company will repair the car. They told him, no, they went to the office. I personally went there. They said they were going to shoot me. I'm telling you, military men, they're not supposed to operate within the society. But they don't want to accept that. And we, too, are so used to the issue that we encourage it. So we all need orientation, both civilians and military, that see this cannot continue to happen. And we need a civilian president to do that. As long as we keep having all these old guys from the military to rule us, they will keep doing that. They will keep having that progression. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kayode, for calling. All right, let's move to our final story. Yes, you can still talk about Ladipo, but I need to tell you that the Nigerian basketball teams are crowdfunding themselves to the Olympics. That's our final story. Yeah, they are crowdfunding. Apparently, the Nigerian Basketball Federation, NBBF, doesn't have enough money to fund the team's prep. Same with the sports ministry. So the players, coaches, supporters, they set up a GoFundMe account to let fans and well-wishers donate money for them. And they're clearly putting that money to good use. If you're watching our live stream, I'm showing you some of the things that they've been able to do. This week, the men's team beat the USA, the world number one. And then they beat Argentina, the world number four, this week. Now, they also played Australia this morning, but let's not talk about that. So here they are, our live stream, Nigeria Info 99.3. You can see some of the highlights from some of the games that they've played. YouTube Nigeria Info FM. Here they are, on the eve of the Olympics, playing well, doing it without government, doing it without federation money, and doing it without their Olympic jerseys. Those jerseys are stuck in Nigeria at customs. In fact, the only thing that the team asked the government for was to help them with a waiver to clear those jerseys. The NBBF says that there's been a miscommunication. Apparently, the sports ministry was supposed to communicate with the finance ministry, who controls customs, to make the waiver happen. But before today, it hasn't happened. There's some bureaucratic delay. We just got word from the NBBF that the ministry has signed the import waiver today. Today. Now, if this is true, then the race is back on to get the jerseys to the team before they leave for Tokyo. But that's the situation with the basketball team. The Nigerian team is the only African team at the Olympics for basketball. The men's coach, Mike Brown, is coaching for free. He's an assistant coach in the NBA with the Golden State Warriors. If you watch the NBA, you know that team, that's Steph Curry's team. But this guy, this Mike Brown guy, believes in the Nigeria project, so volunteered for free. And they beat America. World number one, world number four. So that's the situation. A team with no official budget from government, funding itself by crowdfunding, with a coach working for free, with jerseys stuck in the port because someone in some ministry hasn't signed a paper. Meanwhile, your vice president said something about it. The vice president, he had something very interesting to say about the team. If you're watching on our live stream, we'll play that for you.
That Nigeria loses several billions of dollars annually to various forms of criminality, particularly piracy and sea robbery. So on account...
Apologies for that wrong audio there. We're going to try and find the right audio and play that for you. Okay, all right, hold on. Let me try and see if I have the right audio so that I can play that particular one for you. All right, there, found it.
And for anyone who thinks we're joking, maybe they haven't seen that basketball, the exhibition basketball game on Saturday
with the USA team, especially that amazing block by Precious Achiuwa against KD, Kevin Durant, who is probably the best player in the NBA right now. So Precious, you're the real MVP.
Yeah, Lagos, over to you. Man, call me on 0700-993-993-993. Women, call me on 01465-7190. Yes, you can still talk to me about the Ladikbo story. Were you there? Do you know anybody who was there? What did you see? Do you think military personnel should be allowed to move around Lagos with their arms? And did you listen to my interview with the representative from Youth Party? A court ruling just came asking LASIEC, the Lagos State election body, to include them, release them for this month's election, this month's local government elections happening on the 24th of July. And I spoke with Francis, who is on the board of the Youth Party, and he talked to me about what their hopes and dreams are for this particular ruling, with this particular ruling. What do you think about the court order against LASIEC? Talk to me about that as well. 99.3, hello.
Hello, good afternoon, my dear Sandra.
Good afternoon. Welcome, ma'am.
Yeah, as regards to the youth party, I believe a man that do not have skeleton in the cupboard will not be afraid of such parties.
Okay.
The other party are a little bit puzzled that the youth in Nigeria and even the elderly will turn to this party. And then, not only that, as regards to soldiers, it's not today they have been brutalizing the civilian. I personally witnessed one in the bus. All of us were there. The two women were soldiers. Then the conductor said that it is only one person that they can leave free, that the two people cannot just enter without paying money. So later, the vehicle went on. And she didn't pay the money. When we got to the barrack at, going to Koko, the soldier start dragging the conductor to calm down. I want to take him to the barrack. And I spoke to the soldier. I said, you're supposed to protect this girl, this boy. And you didn't pay him. What do you want to torment him for and kill him? If you kill him, can you kill God? So they are just like that. Apart from civilian lightning death, they will never agree. Oh. It's only their soldier. The one in command, we have to write out some rules specifically and divide it to the civilian, that they have no right to embarrass the civilian. I know a girl was passing by at, Alakija. I saw the soldier quarreling with the girl. Then I went there and said, oh God, what happened? He said, this guy passed this place. I said, but I thought you put rope so that the vehicle will not pass there. So okay, what do you want the girl to do? He said, make the girl knee down. The girl refused to knee down. You know? So if not for the intervention of me and other man that come in, you would have just beat that girl, little girl, for nothing. They have no regard for civilian. They say bloody civilian. So whom are they working for? He said, because they are trained. They don't have regard for civilian at all.
Thank you very much for calling. 99.3.
Sandra, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name, sir?
My name is Dennis.
Hi, Dennis.
Have you called confirmed the true position of what happened at Ladipo from one or two persons? It's the same scenario of buying engine, returning it. No, it has the numbers of days of warranty given, it has stayed it. Just the same thing.
Mm.
And if you go into details, he may not even be the person that it could be in a civilian that bought his engine and is being used as a mercenary. Go to from Apapa, go to Nigerian Rules, containers, they are the one exporting containers. They are the one bringing rice. They are the one driving the vehicle between here and the east or any part of the country. Sometimes I begin to wonder, don't they have work, particularly they do on a daily basis? It's just they settle issues between couples. You can hire them for anything. That's just how they work in Lagos here in particular. It's not just in Lagos, everywhere in the country. You can hire soldiers to come on for your land issue. Just month one or two. They will be there for numbers of days you want to spend in building your house if it is a land that has issues. So I don't just know until such maybe legislation that we say, oh, soldiers should not be seen on the street with gun. And now, how many schools were involved? This just be it. And if we go to the issue of the basketball stuff, I'm always happy every time I see the vice president because of his eloquence. It's only his eloquence that I listen to. It's not a safe implementation of what he's saying. It is sad. That is very sad. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis, for calling. 99.3. Hello, good evening.
Hello, Sandra.
Thanks for calling.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Joyce Daniels.
Hi,
well,
Joyce.
The wonderful job you're doing.
Thank you.
The basketballers, I love them. Love them, love them, love them, love them. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and thinking we'll get different results. They found a different way to make their lives happen, to make their destinies happen. This also gives us the strength and the power to say, where is the money? Where is the money that ought to have been allocated to them? If they didn't come out to search for monies or find monies, raise monies by themselves, we wouldn't know that some monies have gotten missing yet again. Except, of course, it is clearly stated that there was no budget whatsoever, which we will be waiting to hear now, Sandra. So kudos to them for taking their destinies into their hands, making it happen, and kudos to every Nigerian and beyond who has put money in that account.
Joyce, thank you so much for calling. 99.3.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon. What's your name, sir?
My name is Aguma.
Welcome.
Yeah, I'm talking about the issue in Ladipo. Each time there is a passing out parade for officers, be it military, Air Force, and Navy, there's always this advice coming from their boss that submit yourself to considered authorities. And that includes being obedient. If you have any issue, you go to the police to report and not do it by yourself.
Right.
That is the rule of engagement.
Right.
You don't do it, you can't be the person who will escort vehicle with questionable particulars from Lagos to East or from Lagos to Abuja. They do it on a daily basis. So this is not their primary assignment. And for those people that say police are overwhelmed, if for any reason the state wants the help, assistance of the military people, they should be invited. They don't volunteer it. Again, it's unfortunate that at this stage of our development, each time we have incidences like this, the number of casualties becomes a problem. Sandra, you give your own figure. I give my own figure. Everybody gives that. Look at what is happening in U.S. about the building collapse.
Mm.
See how many heads of institutions coming together to address and at a time, you know, a real time.
Mm.
You know, this is what we need. I think the governor of Lagos State should come on top of these things and address this matter. And the military officer, the Navy, the police, they should all come together and address the nation. It's not when you speculate and they say it's fake news, fake news. Where is the right news?
Thank you very much for calling. Tommy from Lekki on WhatsApp says, Sandra, I pray you don't fall for Ladikwa boys. They can make a person lose his temper. Last week, I buy motor gear. The next day, I returned it. The gear is not working. They refuse to change it or give me my money back. Well, while I understand that Tommy is still not, I mean, you did not carry a gun. So, I mean, are you saying to me that if you had a gun and you lost your temper, you shoot somebody, you know? I mean, so the law shouldn't, in my opinion, it shouldn't change because you're now a military officer. Because as a military officer going to the market, you are acting in your capacity as a citizen, not in your capacity as a military personnel. Because your exchange with somebody who is selling in the market is civics. It's civilian duties. It's personal matter. Like, it has nothing to do with the state whatsoever. So using your capacity as an agent of the state to make yourself feel better about a situation that annoys you is a gross abuse of power. I told you when we started talking about this that in some countries, it is illegal for the military to be outside the barracks with weapons. It's illegal. And if you think about it, if this guy had gone to that market or these guys had gone to that market without guns, nobody would be dead. We don't know whether it's one or two or ten that are dead, but nobody would be dead if they were not armed.
The Society for Performing Arts, SPAN, in collaboration with Helen O'Grady Drama Academy, presents Summer Camp 2021. The Performing Arts Camp is offering amazing fun activities for kids aged 3 to 18. Children get to act, sing, and dance. Learn filmmaking, gymnastics, baking, French language, water games, painting, and so much more. This is happening live at Bodilon Road, Ikoyi, from July 5th to July 31st. For more details and registration, please contact 0809-356-1000 or 0809-190-0700. Tell friends, families, and everyone. See you there.
It's gotta be good, it's gotta be nourishing. Truly special, worth sharing. I've been on you to my life. My whole land, yeah, your thoughts. Nourishing one and for every moment.
Hollandia yogurt, wholesome nourishment from your favorite brand.
You are listening to your number one station for talk.
Your number one station for talk.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Let's go back to WhatsApp where we have lots of comments on the issue of the military. The problem is the location of the barracks. The barracks should be outside of civilian settlement. The planning of Lagos is faulty. That's a message from Jelani from Lekki. All right, Jelani, thank you very much for your message. This is Ladikwa Market's President General's number. He can throw more light on the issue. Well, thank you so much for sharing that number. Thank you very much. We've got more people who are sending us messages. Sandra, they're selling Tokumba parts. There's no guarantee after testing it in your presence or they give you a few days. That's a message from Ralph in Satellite Town. Sandra, about the youth party, I think... Well, yes, YPP is different from Youth Party. YPP is not the same. YPP was the one that Moghalu ran with in 2019. Youth Party is different from YPP. And then you you go, you say, well, the rep is not here with me anymore, so he can't answer the question anymore, but I'm sure they're listening, so here goes your questions. How soon did they put their name down to be registered with INEC last year? I know INEC had a rule stating that duration, well, they've answered all of this. They've addressed all of this. I recommend my interview with the president of the party. You can find it on our podcast. Just search for Hard Facts Interview Youth Party. It should pop up. You can listen to that podcast again. Felix from Anthony Village says, I hope this youth party will not start doing when you migrate to our party, your sins are forgiving. And we shouldn't be happy simply because they are youth and start voting for them anyhow. Someone can claim to be humble simply because they haven't tasted money. Felix from Anthony, thank you very much for your message. Soldiers' maltreatment to civilians is very much in Lagos. Government should put them out. Civilians have suffered for years in the hands of these people. Jeff Alaba says, Jeff, thank you very much. President Sandra, Nigerian army only knows how to oppress the masses and they're too shy to fight those with guns in the north. Not to be sentimental, but this is true. What were they doing in the market with guns? That's a message from Captain. Captain is in Lekki. Actually, our soldiers are very gallant in the north as well. They're doing their best in the north with the fight against insurgents. President Sandra, they're selling Tokumba parts. Okay, I think I've taken that message before. Did it come up again? Ebenezer from Surulere says, Sandra, you won't defend those fraudulent sellers if you've been a victim. They need force from a military man to return your money back or replace the gadgets with a good one. I've been a victim and I let go of the money and the phone just because I cannot help myself. So pathetic. Ebenezer, I disagree with you that the force that is required with a person that sells you a faulty item is a military's might. That's an abuse of military power. The military should have more important things to do than to settle squabbles with you and market people. What you have there is a civilian dispute. And do you know whose job it is to sort out and settle these civilian disputes? The police. If they sell you a fake item, make a police case. So what you should be arguing for, what you should be pushing for as a people is, well, how do we get our police to be more responsive with civilian disputes? We need to let go of our obsession with the military. We need to let go of our hang up with the military. Military rule is over. It's been over for at least two decades. At least two decades. We need to let it go. And we need to come to terms with the fact that we are now in a civilian government. It's a democratic government now. If you don't begin to believe that for yourself, how do you expect your leaders to believe that? Let's bring you business news. And after that, the glass ceiling. I'm excited about today's glass ceiling. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. Don't go away.